Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out the best Pelicans analysis other than right here on Locked On Pelicans, of course. So here's your Friday edition. Pels do play this weekend. I'm going to preview that for you guys. It's going to be tomorrow against the Wizards on the road in D.C. Going to be a tough one for the Pelicans. The Wizards are streaking. At the moment, they did just beat the Pelicans, you know, at home at the end of that six-game homestand. Pels have now, lost three straight in a row, looking to hopefully avoid making it four as they kind of fall and slip out of playoff contention. I'm going to talk a little bit more as well about the trade deadline project I'm a part of. That thing has gotten silly with stars being dealt left and right, tons and tons of moves. Experts expect this to be an active NBA trade deadline, but I don't think to the extent that, you know, a bunch of bloggers made it. So, interesting. You know, I've had trouble trying to get deals done. It just goes to show you. But we'll talk about that a little bit on this podcast as well, get you set for the weekend. And then I'll be back with you guys Monday, recapping the Wizards game, previewing the Suns. The Jazz are in town next weekend. Doesn't get much easier for the Pelicans, so this is going to be your Friday edition. Before we talk about trades in the trade deadline, though, some kind of fun news of the day. Anthony Davis is going to be competing in the Taco Bell Skills Challenge at the All-Star Game this year. He participated in that last year in Toronto as well. And that's basically the dribbling, the obstacle course, some of the passing skills. And it's going to follow the same format that it followed in 2016, where it's bigs versus smalls. So it's a pool of four bigs with Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, Joel Embiid, and Kristaps Porzingis compete on one side of the bracket. And on the other side of the bracket is going to be Devin Booker, Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, and John Wall. And it pits a big versus a small guard, though I guess Hayward's more wing. So big versus small in the final. Davis last year was matched up against DeMarcus Cousins in the first round, which he lost, so you might get a rematch for this. Fun little event. It's the Saturday before the All-Star game, the same night as a three-point contest in the dunk competition. Should be a lot of fun to watch him compete. You know, only a good thing he's going to be in this raises his visibility. This is in his city of New Orleans where his team plays. So no surprise to put him in more events. Let him have some fun. You know, it doesn't take too much energy to try and dribble around an obstacle course. It's kind of cool to see the evolution of bigs in the NBA have the ball handling skills that they do to dribble around, to make some of these passes. Let's just hope this year Anthony Davis can get a win and maybe make it to the second round. Finally get into the second round of something. That was probably mean, wasn't it? Now I feel kind of depressed. But should be a lot of fun to watch him play. You know, we'll be there covering it for you guys. The Taco Bell Skills Challenge. So the trade deadline project I'm a part of, not going too well for the Pelicans, trying to make some moves. And like I said, this all got just a little bit too silly to kind of keep it as realistic as I was approaching it. Like Portland traded Lillard to the Bucks. You've seen first-round picks just thrown around all over the place. Washington traded Otto Porter Jr., which seems a little bit odd. Dallas traded for both Whiteside from Miami and Okafor from Philly, trotting out like a three-headed monster, if you call it a monster, but it's not particularly a monster, at least offensively, not at all, of those two and Dirk. And it's just kind of gotten like, it's just, what's going on here? And the trade I've been working on, the one sending Omer Asik to the Hornets, With Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert kind of being pieces moving around looking for a third team. A trade like that actually happened in real life. And it was the Bucks traded Miles Plumlee and his pretty bad contract to the Hornets for Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert. And it's basically the exact framework that we were kind of building around. Now, the Bucks GM in this league was asking way too much. He wanted a pick swap and... you know, it's also Plumlee's contract is like just as bad as Oshik's, if not kind of maybe worse. At least Plumlee's, you know, not as bad as Oshik as a player is, but, you know, wanted a pick swap in there and then wanted bench scoring and maybe another big, and all of a sudden Galloway, Jones, and Oshik is not worth a first round pick swap or and a first round pick swap for both Spencer Hawes and Roy Hibbert, even if Hibbert is an expiring, and Haas is player option on the second year of his deal. But you have to figure, considering he hasn't played a ton, he's not going to necessarily opt out at $6.3 million. And goes to show that maybe the Hornets guy was asking a little too much because, frankly, this deal happened in real life and he didn't get anywhere near the return he was expecting. So, interesting thing, but this is basically, I think it's, you always need like one or two trades to go through first to kind of set off a flurry of activity at the trade deadline, and you have to figure the Pelicans are in these talks. So, you know, and it probably mirrors a bit my experience I had here, in the sense that there's just no real good deal out there right now for the Pelicans. You can give up a first for Paul Millsap, but that's a lot for guys 31, 32 who you're going to need to max out. You could probably bring in Vucevic from, or Biombo from the Magic, but you're giving up probably a first-round pick in something like that as well, and it's not particularly appealing. That's a lot of money Biombo is being owed, like $18 million a year. I'm not particularly happy about paying him that, especially when you have guys like Terrence Jones, Donatus Mata-Yunus, who can do that, and you'd probably need to give up a first-round pick because you'd need to send out Oshik to make salary work, at least with Biombo. That's not ideal. Come on now. So it's a little bit tough for them to find deals. You could potentially spin Holiday, but with him being a free agent, teams are going to be kind of uncertain on him, and they're not going to give a lot back. I had an offer of Holiday and a first-round pick for Okafor from the Sixers. I told him no way. I had an offer of Courtney Lee for Tyreke Evans and the Knicks trying to just get rid of long-term salary, get an expiring in, and said, frankly, it doesn't help me get into the playoffs this year, so I'd rather keep the expiring. And, you know, because those two players kind of have similar numbers this year. So the Pels are just in this weird spot where they can't make a ton of moves. Demps obviously probably wants to, you know, secure his job for next season, make the playoffs. But you have to figure ownership isn't going to let him trade away an unprotected first as well. Because frankly, if he does get fired, you want to give a new GM as many assets as possible. And if the cupboard's bare, you're going to have trouble attracting a top-level general manager. So we're going to see what happens. This is the last day of it. I'm not expecting anything good. Looks like we're not going to really get much done at the trade deadline. Some names in the real world to keep an eye on is Wilson Chandler, small forward from the Denver Nuggets, has asked for a trade. Sounds like he doesn't want to be there anymore, which would be a good get for the Pelicans. Chandler, and pulling up his stats right now, I think he's averaging right around 15 points per game. Yeah, 15.4 per game, hitting about one and a half threes a game. He's defensively not ideal, let's say, but it's not horrible. But his offensive rating is pretty good. And that's kind of an important thing because, frankly, the Pels need just offense at this point. You've seen the offense sputter and die in the middle of games, which gets them in a hole. Then they explode to life, and then they're done because once you make the comeback, you can't keep it going. But Wilson Chandler is a name that came out. They've also said that Emmanuel Mudiay, who's, what, the seventh pick 2 years ago, is potentially going to be available. He has been not good for them, particularly. Which means you got to wonder if maybe you look at a Drew Holiday for Mudiay and Wilson Chandler and maybe a pick or 2 second-round picks The Pelicans have Philly's second round pick. They have a top 55 protected second round pick. Otherwise, it goes to Minnesota. So two second round picks. I would do that deal in a second. Two second round picks and Holiday for Moutier and Chandler. And you get a starting, point guard back. Puts Tim Frazier back in the rotation too. And then you've got Wilson Chandler to kind of hold down that small forward spot. You could run a small lineup with Wilson Chandler out there and Solomon Hill. And you'd increase your offense probably. Moutier, though, he's averaging 12.1 points per game, only 4.2 assists. And this is in about 28.5 minutes. So you can see not ideal. It's also 2.6 turnovers, which is fairly high for him. Wilson Chandler is a guy to keep your eye on, have to figure out what the Pelicans would need to give up. But there's some potential there for a real-world move. And the Wizards game tomorrow will give you a little bit of a preview for that. So if you remember, it was back on January 29th, the Wizards won 107-94 in New Orleans. Not good game for really the Pelicans there at all. They had 101.7 offensive rating. Wizards had 115.8. So bad offense came back to strike the Pelicans. Of the starters, the only two guys that scored in double figures were Anthony Davis, who had 36 points, 36 and 17. Holiday had 26 and 11 assists. And then the only other guy in double figures on the entire roster was Donatas Mata-Yunus, as the Pelicans put up only 20 bench points. That number has been a theme. That's all they scored against the Pistons. Solomon Hill scored 7. Dante Cunningham had 5. Buddy Hield had 0. In his time. So just terrible offense from everyone not named Anthony Davis or Drew Holiday. And you contrast it to the Wizards, who Bradley Beal was in close to 30 points. Markieff Morris had 21. John Wall had 18 points, 19 assists. Otto Porter had 13. Marcin Gortat had 17. They were scoring all around with this team. And this is a reason why they've won 13 out of their last 15 games. They're fourth in the Eastern Conference. And they're only like two games back of Toronto for the second spot. So this is going to be a tough one for the Pelicans. One of the things that kind of hurt them in that game was Washington shot 47.5% from the three-point line. They're not a good three-point shooting team particularly. They don't take a lot of three-pointers either. While their percentage is good, that's what it, they don't shoot a lot. They took a lot of threes against the Pels, and they made a lot of threes against the Pels, for them at least. So not ideal. Got to defend that three-point line, run them off, at least try and funnel them inside to Anthony Davis, Donatas Mata-Yunus, Terrence Jones, those guys, to make your defense a little bit better. I'd rather them score at the rim kind of in this case than on the three-point line, because frankly, if they get hot from the three-point line and they start making a lot of threes, there's not much you're going to be able to do. They don't get to the free throw line a ton. Some of the guys do have trouble finishing through contact at the rim. So they, it's not going to really be an easy game for the Pelicans here. But there's some chance of it. Go after offensive boards. The Wizards aren't great at defensive rebounding. They're in the last third of the league. They do that. They grab a lot of offensive boards. It's going to make their life easier offensively, getting extra possessions to score. Obviously, that's going to be the case. And they can maybe eke out a win, but otherwise it's going to be tough. You're going to be coming back to New Orleans riding a three-game road losing streak, a four-game losing streak overall, going into Monday's game against the Suns, which should be winnable and maybe add a little bit of desperation to this team. But, at that point, playoffs just might be out of reach and you're playing for next year. So that's going to be it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to give the podcast a follow as well. It's at Locked On Pels. You can also find the podcast on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, wherever you have podcasts. It's going to be there. That's the good thing. So enjoy your weekend. Hopefully the Pelicans can get a win tomorrow over the Wizards. Whether they do or don't, I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap everything, preview the Suns game, and get you ready for next week.